Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. On today's show, we have Randy Abrams, as well as we're continuing our conversation with our special guest, Mary Landesman, Senior Security Researcher at Cisco. Hi, guys. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having us back.
I know last time we talked about Stuxnet and some of the impact that it's having on the community as well as the non-SCADA community as a whole. But, you know, today we wanted to take kind of a fun approach and chat about some of the strange theories that are out there around Stuxnet. Now, obviously, some are concluding that this is, you know, the first real cyber warfare targeted at Iran. But, you know, who's behind Stuxnet? What are some of the theories that have been proposed?
Well, I'm sure someone's blaming the antivirus companies for writing it.
Of course.
What do you think, Mary?
Well, I think that the whole targeting of Iran is one of the funnier theories, because I think the only thing the data really proves is that Iran has the largest numbers of unprotected systems versus, you know, any indication that they're being targeted.
Right.
Some of the funnier ones, you know, that this was the work of the Israeli government based on, you know, a couple of very, very obscure references in the code, which, you know, on the surface, you know, if you were a conspiracy theorist, sounded, you know, compelling, you know, that Myrtus meant Myrtle, which meant Esther, which referred to the Old Testament. But Myrtus actually is much more likely a reference to my RTUs, and RTUs are, of course, a integral device within SCADA systems. And so, you know.
So what are RTUs?
So those are the remote terminal units that the PLC, the programmable logic controller, is the basic input-output device that, you know, maybe control switches, for example. The RTU is more common nowadays, and it encompasses the abilities of the PLC, but then it also gives some additional management features. And so anything pertaining to RTU in the SCADA design realm is, you know, almost certainly in reference to remote terminal unit and not to Myrtus, a.k.a. Myrtle, a.k.a. Esther, a.k.a. the Old Testament. And, you know, some of the other theories, I mean, there's, you know, actually, you know, theories that are being put forth by, you know, earnest theorists that this is the work of aliens from outer space. There are some others that it's the work of psychic spies with remote mind control capabilities.
And why do they need USB spreading malware for
exactly.
Remote mind control?
Exactly, is my thought. And if you're an alien from outer space and you have the wherewithal to get to this planet, surely you can do something a little bit more sophisticated than write a computer worm.
Well, maybe you don't want to give yourself away.
Right, not at first, at least, right?
Yeah. Security by security, right?
So maybe aliens are trying to frame Robert Morris.
I think it's Ted Kaczynski returned from the grave, you know, the Unabomber.
He wants to... Or this is actually the season finale of the NBC show, The Event, right? The event. This is The Event.
Yeah, this is just all one elaborate setup for that storyline, right?
Exactly.
I see.
Getting back to Myrtus, I read on a closed industry list some interesting supporting evidence that you had about perhaps Myrtus not referring to the Old Testament, but to botany.
Well, no, so that point there was that it really meant my RTUs, which is, you know, my remote terminal unit, which, let me just say, that's sort of an egotistical control kind of, you know, if you think about the mindset of somebody that typed that in, my RTUs, it's like establishing ownership. Hey, I now own your devices. But anyway, I think the folder name Myrtus was meant for my RTUs, and I think the person probably had a botany revelation and said, hey, Myrtus, that's also the name for, you know, this family of plants that includes things like guava, and that's why he named the file guava.
Not many people know there was a file named guava associated with Stuxnet.
Yeah, but it's been, you know, pretty widely reported. It was, you know, a bit of legacy code that was left over in the rootkit driver. And if you remember, the rootkit driver was the source of intense scrutiny because that was the one that had the signed Realtek certificate. So, you know, and I think Robert Langren, if that's the correct name, was the first one to, you know, connect that dot, the guava. Well, actually, he ignored the guava, but hung the Myrtus description up as being Esther of the Old Testament. And I think that the combination of Myrtus and guava actually points more to, you know, botany, and, you know, but ultimately that Myrtus points directly to my RTUs and a possessive kind of mentality. I own your RTUs.
And what about some of the theories that, you know, it's been said that it was discovered in June of 2010, right? But then there's been some mention that maybe it was even back in 2009 or earlier, that it's been around that long. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, after the fact, right, everybody knows a lot of things. And that's, I don't mean that, you know, flippantly. I mean, it's true. So, you know, the first variant that was known was in, you know, June 17th, 2010. But after antivirus companies were given that information, they were able to look back through their sample databases, you know, which consist of, you know, millions and millions of samples, and look for other code that had similarities. And based on that, Symantec came back and said, well, you know, we see a variant as far back as June 2009.
And one thing to remember is that Stuxnet is a multi-component piece of malware. So it's quite possible that, I know ESET also went back and found samples that well predated the June timeframe, but that only means we found a component of it, not the link file itself that was responsible for that zero-day USB spread.
Yeah, I think actually, though, that link exploit dated back to February or of 2009 and was first seen, may have been January of 2009, and was first seen with a variant of Zeus.
Yep. That really is interesting, though, because Stuxnet, of course, used stolen digital certificates, and Zeus steals digital certificates.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. I don't think that anyone involved in criminal malware, and all malware is criminal, I don't think anyone involved in malware is working in a silo. You know, I mean, we see all the time in the industry that you know, once there's been a development by one malware author, the other malware authors are very, very quick to adopt it. It's one of the biggest problems with you know, premature disclosure of vulnerabilities. You know, once those vulnerabilities are released and exploit code is released, you know, that becomes a very, very easy turnkey solution for malware writers to incorporate that into, you know, the next rendition of their threats. So,
there's a missing theory. I wouldn't say that it's missing, but it's gotten a lot less play than I expected, is that I don't really see much finger pointing at the Chinese government, even though the stolen certificates were from Taiwanese companies. I find that kind of interesting.
Well, you know, it's the first threat in years they haven't had blamed on them, so
it's kind of the exception to prove the rule, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, this is the one time everybody hasn't sort of turned around and blamed the Chinese. You know, I think trying to, you know, play pin the tail on the country is you know, it's fun, but it's kind of fruitless. I mean, you know, this may have been something that was possible to do, you know, 20 years ago, you know, pre-internet times. But nowadays, you know, we're so global. You could have a website that's registered in Dallas, that's hosted in China, that belongs to somebody in, you know, Afghanistan.
You know, personally, my money is that this was another failed Sony copyright protection attempt.
There you go. I'm going to stick with my Ted Kaczynski back from the grave.
Now maybe he was collaborating with Sony.
Right. The other possibility, you know, is that it's the work of time travelers who are sending us a warning. They've come back in time and planted a computer worm.
Well, they should have. If they're that far ahead in time, they should have known that we wouldn't learn from it.
Actually, they should have gone back further, bought a bunch of Coke or Pepsi stock, and just retired.
Yeah. Or gone back to when the internet was being designed, saying, guys, this thing's going to be global. You better put some security in now.
There you go. That might have even been a better thing. So.
And then buy the stock and go back.
Yeah, and then buy the stock and go back. But yeah, you know, it's. I think the thing with all of these, you know, different, you know, conspiracy theories is that it masks you know, it's fun, you know, and I think the whole thing behind conspiracy theories is it gives people a chance to feel, you know, sort of in control and involved. You know, they can go out and investigate and come up with these great conclusions. But the problem is that it kind of masks the real things people should be focusing on, which is, you know, that these systems are even vulnerable, you know, to such an attack to begin with. And also, you know, the other kind of message is that, you know, everybody is so interconnected. I mean, this worm is spreading. It's not able to get to the SCADA systems directly, so it's using everybody else's computer as kind of a piggyback to get there. And this is why, you know, there's so many, you know, home users and, you know, non-SCADA systems, you know, that are caught up in this worm.
Yep.
You know, they're just a vehicle for spread. So everybody has a role, I guess, in helping, you know, the world be a more secure place.
Yep. And actually, that is the focus of a program that ESET's been leading in cooperation and conjunction with other companies and government and private organizations called Securing Our eCity. And the whole point is we have to take education to the consumers, because we can't secure our country if the individuals using the internet aren't secured.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that we can see, you know, I mean, if there's anything that the rapid number of, or the, you know, the rapid spread of Stuxnet and the high numbers of infections really show us is, you know, just how true that is, you know, and how much everyone does, you know, play that role.
Yep. No, protecting the internet and .com is definitely a shared responsibility. Well, Randy and Mary, thanks so much for taking the time today to chat with us about this topic. If you have any questions for either of them, feel free to email askeset@eset.com, and we'll make sure that your message gets to the appropriate person. You can also read more on this topic at antivirus.about.com, where Mary has written an article that goes into some further detail. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.